You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at ReadyMadeResources.com. Today's guest is Ross Powell of Survival401k.com. Ross, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks, Mark. Great to be here and talk to your listeners.
Oh, absolutely. So we scheduled this interview a while back, but it's really perfect timing. As I just said, your company is Survival401k.com, and I think there's probably a lot of people out there with 401ks right now that are wondering how in the heck are they going to survive, because we are recording this. We're recording it on the Tuesday after the Friday and Monday bloodbaths in the market. Of course, Friday's plunge was 666 points, very ominous. I think a lot of people will remember the lows of the market back in 09, March of 09. I think it was the S&P was 666, and that was after a Shmita year that I think a lot of folks got, I certainly got sort of anxious about the last Shemitah, and then, you know, nothing too bad happened. But boy, this is really, really some turbulent action that we've seen in the market. Yesterday, the market, it opened down and quickly dropped about 350 points. It bounced up from there to being only about 50 points down. By lunchtime, it had given up all that ground it regained in the morning session. The lows yesterday, right around 1600. And then it right at that 1600 level, shot back up to only 800 points down, and then settled at 1175 points. It sounds like there was a lot of like confusion in the markets to see that kind of a chop, and just rapid gains and rapid losses. It tells me that nobody really knew what was going on. What did you make of that?
Well, number one, it's just, you know, when there's a panic, all the cattle run to one side of the ship or the other. And so they're just kind of running for the exits. And again, my old saying is, he who panics first panics best. And so those trying to get their money out of the matrix, I call it, were trying to get out and not take losses. But on the what was really going on in the backside of it was there is the volatility index, the VIX. So there's an inverse of that called XIV, and it dropped to 99, and then after hours it dropped to like 15. So that particular ETF and leveraged fund, which a lot of the big banks are in, Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, and a bunch of other big banks internationally, just took a bath. So they actually had to terminate the fund and liquidate because it was so bad, because people are just trying to get up, because that's playing the opposite of what the volatility index would be. And it went up, it spiked at 50. It's bound to, it went down to 25 today, and I think the last time I looked, it was back to 41. So there's still a lot of things in the background, and I'm looking at the market now, and it's up like 300 points. But you can know there's been intervention by the Fed. They were talking about it openly yesterday that the Fed's going to have to intervene. And so they push a bunch of money to big banks. Big banks push the money through their brokerage houses and buy up everything they can to turn those numbers around. So you're seeing that the retail customers, mom and pops that were out of the market for the longest time, saw this market is booming under Trump, got sucked into this thing. And we were saying back in December and in November, some friends were saying they're just drawing all these folks in, and they're just going to get their heads cut off again. So there's a real chance that, you know, you're going to get sheared one more time. And just because we went up this one day, I don't think it's reversed, just because of the volatility index is really strong still.
Yesterday, close to the close, Bloomberg had Brian Belsky on. He's an investment strategist for BMO. And he said that yesterday's activity was normal. But the nearly 1,600-point intraday decline in the Dow was the largest intraday decline ever. The closing down 1,175 points was the worst single-day point decline ever. So two major records broken in a single day. By definition, doesn't that make yesterday's activity abnormal? Do you ever feel like you're being lied to when you watch the financial news?
Only when they're moving their lips, Mark. So, absolutely. You switch channels. I normally don't watch cable. I just recently upgraded my internet to 400 meg or whatever, which came with a free cable box for the same price. I never turned on, but because of that, I turned on Bloomberg and I turned on Fox, and I was just watching. I was watching the Asian markets, Bloomberg Asia and Squawk Talk and all that, and watching the Nikkei crash and watching the South Korean market. And everything's just tanking. But you look at you turn on all the main channels like CBS, ABC, all the bubbleheads, and they're all saying the same talking points. Basically, this is normal market. It's a good market. It's a healthy market. It'll come back, and it's like that usual, doublespeak. It's okay for you to lose money in these markets, but I never think it's okay to lose money in markets. They're just fleecing folks, and so it's just very. I just don't trust it. It's so manipulated by the powers that be that it's just really frustrating to me that just people just buy into that nonsense. Oh, it'll come back. Well, they said that in 2008. We're just now getting to where people were back to even or a little bit ahead, and here we go again. So it's just a very frustrating. But to answer your question, yeah, I definitely felt like I needed to take a shower after watching all that nonsense.
And then we mentioned yesterday, right off the session lows, the Dow bouncing from down 1,600 points to being down only 800 points. That's an 800 point spike in literally in a matter of seconds. I'm thinking, who's wanting to jump in front of that freight train and buy those stocks? You mentioned earlier the Exchange Stabilization Fund, also known as the Plunge Protection Team. You said that they're the ones that are in there buying. Is that what happened? Is that what brought that from down 1,600 to down only 800? And then can you explain how the Exchange Stabilization Fund works?
Sure. I mean, a lot of that is fairly secret. I mean, unless you're one of them, I can't tell you exactly how they do it. But I can tell you that they were involved. But I think after Friday, they were waiting and seeing because during the period of time after in 2009, 2010, 11, you can see when the market was starting to tank again. And every day you could see it as it started to turn over around 1 o'clock Eastern time. I had a chart where you could actually see it bounce and head right back up again. So you could see exactly when the Plunge Protection Team or the stabilization team, they call it, got involved. And you can see it now. I think they probably got involved today because last night at around, before I went to bed around 11, the futures were down 800. I wake up this morning and they were, like in the 200 range. I think we opened up down 300 or 400 points, and then suddenly I look again in an hour and it's back up. We're in positive range of 28. So I know they injected today because you could see overnight because of Asia hit tanking big time and then Europe tanked. There's going to be a contagion going on. So they had to step in and burst in with a bunch of money. So how does the Plunge Protection Team work or the stabilization? But they end up pushing a bunch of money from the Fed to the big banks, and the big banks start buying, and the market makers and all of the different large houses in New York start buying everything they can, which turns everything around. So they buy big large caps on the Dow and the S&P and things like that. So they build up this book, and so essentially it all backfills to the Fed. Now, would they tell you that? Heck no. That you're going to have to, you're not going to get into that kind of weeds with it. But I can tell you that it happens, and it's for the benefit of the market. I mean, it used to be, I thought it was very nefarious because they didn't tell you about it. But now they're pretty much hiding in plain sight. Anybody just talks about it. Yeah, the Fed's going to have to get involved to stop this bleeding. So they're calling it by a different name, but it's the same players and the same teams working on it. So it just when you see these wild swings intraday like this, you'll see that the cattle are selling, but the market makers are buying to even it out. So that you'll see a lot of retail customers getting out, and you'll see all Fidelity crashed, all of the robo advisors crashed yesterday. So you have all these people that are trying to get out and running for the exits, and so the powers that be are buying it up just for a confidence builder because you're looking at it. Not even crypto's tanked right again. So you have this confidence in the system, and again, even though stocks have companies behind them and they have hard assets such as buildings and assets and things like that, it's all about perception in your whether you have confidence in the system. And yesterday you could see confidence drained out the bucket. Happened before that on Friday, and a couple of days earlier I think we lost 300 points a couple of times earlier in the week. So there's 2,000 points or better have been lost in less than 7 days, and the people's confidence are shaken. So if that stays like that, you're going to continue to have this bear market, and they don't want that. I know Trump doesn't want that because that's where he's hanging his hat on the economy. So there's going to be a lot of shoveling of cash into the market to make sure that it stabilizes and people, you know, don't lose confidence in it, because they just got all these retail customers back, and now it's doing it again because it's overinflated, it's overbought, and it's overvalued. Even Yellen said that on her way out. The markets are overvalued. So that tells you something right there. Plus potential for inflation, you know, the bond market's getting crazy. So, you know, there's just so many pieces for a perfect storm to make this whole thing go way down for a major correction of 15 or 20%.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, campingsurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at campingsurvival.com. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. I think Henry Ford, I think he's the one that said if the American public understood how the banking system operated, that there'd be a revolt tomorrow morning. And wow, yeah, everything you're talking about here, it's just stuff that I think we're intentionally not taught in the public school systems and the liberal colleges of America. I think they you know, you can't have sheep thinking for themselves, can you?
Well, no, exactly not. And many of the people that are in these big houses are from prep schools and big money families and folks that have been in the market for generations. And so they want the average rube, like the rest of us, to be ignorant and basically tell you you're too stupid to manage your own money. You need to have me manage it for you. And even though you lose money, I still get paid the same. So these really aren't too many performance-based financial planners and analysts out there, or advisors out there. They get paid the same whether you win or lose, and so that's a pretty good gig. And if you ask me,
what about the political risk here? During the campaign, Trump warned that markets were in a bubble. Since his inauguration last year, he's really taken ownership and sort of credit for the performance of the markets. Of course, now he's sort of put his foot in the bear trap by doing that. And since he's wanting to take ownership of the market, the liberal media has had no problem letting him have it. And, you know, they're always looking for any excuse to lambast him. And they've certainly not taken any type of a sabbatical for this one.
I think you're dead on with politically. They released a memo from the House on Friday, and suddenly the market goes down 666. The politics over the weekend and all the bubbleheads over the weekend, the talk shows. And then they voted yesterday to release the Democratic version of it. And then we dropped down 1175. So, I mean, I think it's a major war between the deep state and the Trump administration. So they basically said, you do this, we're going to crash your big deal. And so they have a long ways to go. When Trump was inaugurated, it was like at 18,000. We went over 26, approached 27 when we had this correction. So we still have 6,000 points to go before we're back to where we started. But still, that's a lot of money that was made, 25% in 2017, 25, 31% of some of these people's portfolios went up. You don't want to erase all of that. So he needs that confidence along with his tax cut and make sure that people are confident in the economy. The companies are growing. They're giving their people's bonuses. You know, so there's a lot of positive out of the tax cut. But also at the same time, there's a lot of great wailing and gnashing of teeth. And you have the liberal media renting their garments over all of these things that he's doing. So they're finding every little crack in his armor, any little ding, they're going to try to, you know, maximize the effect. And so now you have, you know, there you have the, you know, the ratcheting up of Mueller. Then you have another dossier with Steele, and you have the Senate version of this intel that was, I've looked at it, totally redacted. But you get a feel for how dirty the politics of 2016 were, and how you had collusion between the FBI, the Justice Department, the Hillary Clinton campaign, the DNC, and the media. So you have all these five pillars of liberalism working to stop Trump from what he was going to do. So that there's, and this war is still going on, you know, a lot of skullduggery and all kinds of things going on. I mean, you had Seth Rich getting popped, you know, there's all kinds, and one of his friends got popped. So you need to know that there's all kinds of intrigue going on not just in the market, but in the political realm as well, that 2018 is going to be a very, I would say, interesting year, to say the least, both politically and economically.
Oh, I think you're right about that. And yeah, the number of Friday's decline, 666, was just very, very ominous. And yes, we've got the war going on between the Trump administration and the deep state. I think there's a lot of stuff that's been going on with the deep state and patriots inside the government since way before the campaigns even got started. But it's certainly full-fledged right now. Another thing that happened last week that got very, very little coverage in the media, probably no coverage in the media. It wasn't anything. I don't think it was listed in Drudge Report or anywhere. But last Tuesday, a week ago from the day that we're recording this, and the Tuesday preceding the 666-point decline in the markets, the Senate turned down a 5-month ban on abortions, which essentially, you know, would have protected children that have come to 5 months in their mother's womb. They would not be able to be murdered inside their mother's womb after 5 months, and so they turned that ban down. Of course, it was the Democrats that blocked that, with the exception of two Republicans. There were actually two Republicans that voted against that ban, and I can't remember their names right now, but one of them was the female senator from Alaska, and the other one was a female senator from Maine. So,
right.
Live in either one of those states, this is something you really, really have to be up on. You cannot reelect these people. I don't know if either one of them are going to be up for reelection in this term or when their next election is. But if you live in Alaska or Maine, you really, really need to know that voting for them, you're gonna if you put them back in office, you've got the same blood of those murdered children on your hands as if you were voting for a Democrat. Which I believe people that vote Democrat, I think that Judgment Day is going to roll around. They're going to have that blood on their hands, so that's something they've got to be aware of. But yeah, very ominous that 666 point decline, and that's it's gonna be coincidence, I suppose, but I guess that number has to come up in the course of things. But for that to be the close for Friday and then to see Monday's huge decline, very, very concerning, and something I think that we'll have to keep paying attention to. So you think that the market route's gonna continue
over the weeks and months? Yeah, I think it's going to bounce back up today. I'm looking at the VIX numbers right now, and it's back down to 28. So the volatility index is down. So I think you're going to see a bounce up today. But again, all the stuff is still out there. But again, just stopping the bleeding, like any kind of first aid you do, first thing new is stop the bleeding, clear the airway, those kind of things. I think that's what they wanted, just to stop this contagion to come through. Because if they would have let it go another 600 or 800 points today, which it could have gone, then that would have made a huge confidence builder, and people would have really started freaking out. So they had to stop the bleeding here, and so I think it's back up now. It's up 430 points today. So there's huge swing of almost 1,000 points from beginning to end today, over 1,000 points. So you have a major change, and so a lot of money's been pumped in. So we'll see if today is not going to be whether it's going to be. I think it's going to continue a downward trend, probably another 1,000 points. Again, I'm not an expert, just by seeing the way it's worked in the past. I think you stop it, and you maybe have smaller hits, 200 or 300 points at a time, going back down until before they hit the bottom. So I mean, and then you have people running to cryptos, and the cryptos dumps out too. You know, you're looking at I think Bitcoin is in the 7,000 range. It went under 6,000 last night, but have jumped back up over 7 today. So you have just an amazing movement in these cryptocurrencies too, that people have been using as a hedge. Yeah, it's up to 75.98, where last night it was at 59.50 at the low last night. So there's been some great big turnaround there as well, but billions of dollars stripped out of that market as well in the last 5 days, 7 days. So it's huge. And for the record, that senator you talk about, Susan Collins, she's one of the most liberal Republicans in the Senate, and Alaska's right there behind her. And then you have people like Lindsey Graham and John McCain and all those guys who are all basic establishment people that are, you know, rhinos, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. But even Graham and McCain wouldn't knew better than to vote down a 5-month abortion ban, because that's a viable human being that can live outside of the womb. And it's astounding what we're actually doing in this country. And you know, it's absolutely, you know, the Holocaust pales in comparison to the murders that have happened in this country under abortion.
It's even worse than that, Mark, is the selling of the pieces parts.
Oh, I mean, goodness.
That's, you know, they tried to stop that too, and that didn't get stopped. They had to get back and they actually jailed or tried to jail the people that busted those people selling it. So it's like what right is wrong and wrong is right. And it's just an unbelievable turnaround on the way our country is. It's just nauseating.
Absolutely. The underlying catalyst for the meltdown in the bonds, which has been the catalyst in the, you know, the last two trading sessions, the dramatic losses, has been inflation expectation. Under the Obama administration, central planners and the Fed nearly doubled the M2 money supply. All things being equal, we should have seen prices double. Of course, all things are never equal, are they? So, now, do you expect now that the economy has started to get rolling, some of that pent-up money is going to start competing for limited goods and services? And do you think we're going to start to see those higher prices from all that monetary creation that happened over the last 8 years?
Oh, we're already seeing it. They're just not changing the prices. They're changing the size of the packaging. For instance, food stuff. So there's no inflation unless you eat, drink, have insurance, go to college, go to the doctor, buy auto insurance, home insurance, any of those kind of things. There's no inflation otherwise. But if you go to the grocery store, and most of these folks that here probably stock up, if you're preppers, you probably have a pretty extended pantry already in food stores. But if you're going shopping these days, they're changing the size of the packaging, but not changing the prices. So you'll see a less potato chips in the same size baggie. There'll be a lot more air in it. Your cereal boxes are less. Your different packaged foods or canned goods and stuff have less product in it, but for the same price. So in the way they put them on the shelves of the grocery store, so you won't really notice it unless you actually look. So inflation's already embedded in, and because of this money wash and how things are coming up, I mean, I think you're going to see some inflation, but they're going to try to tame it, and I think that's what's going to hurt the bond market as well. So that's one of the things is the yields and things like that. It's going to be, again, it's bonds versus stocks, right, equities. So they're always sort of in people at each other's throats in that market.
And government intervention into our supposed free market that's always a factor, as you've talked about with the Exchange Stabilization Fund. I believe it was Ron Paul who said central bankers think they're tinkering with the thermostat to raise or lower the economic temperature a few degrees. But what they're actually doing is toying with the levers on a nuclear reactor, which they know absolutely nothing about. And this latest sell-off seems to be triggered by disruptions in the bond market, as we said. And, you know, the Fed can set targets on rates by setting interest on transactions they have with private banks. But unless they're willing to buy every bond issued and every treasury sold by investors, at some point, the market's going to do what it wants to do, isn't it? And do you think it's possible that the Fed and Treasury could completely lose their grasp of interest rates? And what kind of rates could we see if that happened?
Well, I think the market's not going to accept them. You're going to get much bigger drops if they're slowly unwinding the QE, right? QE 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever number that you're at now. But at the same time, if they go beyond a quarter point or half a point at a time, you're going to see a major downtrend, right? And so the bond market is changing the way market rates are doing for mortgages. So this increase in the yield on the treasuries and things like that is going up because nobody's there to buy them. The Fed is actually buying most of these, our debt now, and expanding their balance sheet. They don't tell you that, but many of these bonds and this debt is being bought by the Fed because the Chinese and the Russians and the Japanese, a bunch of others, have stopped buying. In fact, China is getting close to being a net seller. So at the end of the day, we're creating our own inflation. So you're going to get these rate increases to draw, you know, external capital. So when they raise the rates on these bonds and they raise the interest rates, it draws in foreign capital. So to get more and more people in, they're going to have to raise it up. So what does that do? What does that do to mortgage interest rates, to credit card rates, automobile rates? You're starting to see those inch up, and especially in the mortgage market. I think you're looking at, I haven't checked today, but I think we were pushing 4.5 when I looked last week, which is significantly another point higher than it's what has been in the last month. So these rates, and again, which again, the cascading effect of that is the higher the mortgage rates at 4.5% is still cheap money, even 5%. I remember back in the day in the 80s, people were getting mortgages at 18% back in the, you know, the Carter days and things. So, you know, you have this inflation at that point. So you have these interest rates could go really high. But again, people are used to cheap money for so long that, again, it rattles their confidence if you don't have cheap money. Does that make sense? Because you're so used to being a junkie, if you turn off that, you turn off that fix, you know, that's, it's going to affect the economy and have huge ripple effects.
And let's talk about that, the real estate for a second. Of course, as you mentioned, meltdown in bonds, which is a melt up in interest rates, would be very bad for real estate prices short term. But given the only available tool the Fed really has at their disposal is monetary creation, at some point, people are going to dump those dollars for anything physical. Won't that include real estate in the long term?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think if you're in the real estate, I think you're going to do okay. I mean, that and precious metals. I think you need anybody that's listening to this that doesn't have a core position in precious metals is, you know, is thinking short term, because many people think, well, I'm not getting a return on that gold or that silver, or that platinum, or even copper for that matter. I mean, many of your listeners probably think that, I mean, I do, you know, copper, lead, and brass combined with an accelerant is a great precious metal as well, correct?
So, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, so that's a great bartering tool and things of that nature. But to answer your question, I think real estate can be really strong. I mean, the housing prices are going up. So there is a real opportunity there. So if you can find, now might be the time if you can find a bug out location or you can find a rural piece of property or some raw land, I think you're never going to go wrong with that, simply from the bug out perspective or the prepping perspective of it, that it's good to have it. And the rental markets are really strong too. So there's a chance, like many of my clients take their 401k money or their IRA and we put them into the self-directed version that we have, and they go and buy rental properties and they're making 14-15% of the money with their underlying assets still intact. So that's a really great way to extend your retirement and have a real nice positive cash flow that's tax deferred as to rental properties, and could be duplexes, could be a litany of things. So I think to answer your question, short answer is, yeah, real estate's going to do fine in the near future, I believe.
That's the end of the first half of my interview with Ross Powell of Survival401k.com. Tune in next week for the rest of the show.
The Days of Elijah, Book 4, The Seventh Vial, by bestselling author Mark Goodwin, is now available in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition. The ultimate battle, which will decide the fate of heaven and earth, has finally come. Everett and Courtney Carroll have fared better than most through the past 7 years of the Great Tribulation. But the eve of Armageddon refuses to let them live out the last hours of this present age without conflict, trouble, and persistent peril. The Bible has prophesied of the seven vials of God's wrath, the final judgments which will utterly destroy what's left of a decimated planet. These calamities will bring a plague of festering boils upon the followers of the Antichrist. Rivers and seas will turn to blood, and a global earthquake will raise the cities of the earth to the ground. All of this in the midst of the war to end all wars. It won't be the first time they've been trapped between a rock and a hard place, but it might be the last. Don't miss the final chapter of this end times sensation. Get your copy from Amazon.com today.